Okay, we're continuing chapter 10 of Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban. What with the promise of anti-dementor lessons from Lupin, the thought that he might never have to hear his mother's death again, and the fact that Ravenclaw flattened Hufflepuff in their Quidditch match at the end of November, Harry's mood took a definite upturn. Gryffindor were not out of the running, after all, although they could not afford to lose another match. Wood became repossessed of his manic energy, and he worked his team as hard as ever in the chilly haze of rain that persisted into December.
Wait, I want to be you for a minute.
What's that?
I'm going to be you for a minute and commentate.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay. I think it's funny that Wood is always working with the hardest ever.
Wait, say that again?
I think it's funny that Wood is always working them the hardest ever.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, wait, which one's the real hardest?
I know. It's, imagine...
He's only 13, there's only so much hardest you can do.
I know that too. But imagine you're a 13-year-old boy, right? Or girl. It's, everything seems like, oh man, he's working us the hardest ever. Right?
And maybe he is.
Yeah, maybe he is.
Like, seriously, it's just funny in the books. Like,
I also want to know what Harry does during practices.
Right?
Like, practice...
Well, I bet that he does drills.
Well, yeah, he should, right? Like, flying as fast as he can, turning as sharp as he can, stuff like that.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, he better... But it's not like he needs to practice with the team. It's like, okay, guys, we'll work on, you know, passing
them. Well, I bet that they do that together. They work on those kinds of drills together.
Yeah, but the other ones probably have to do a lot of team practice, you know. It's like soccer, you know. I know they do a lot of drills, too.
They do those, like, drills, and then they branch off into their own things. And then there's probably, like, seeker training that they can do.
But they only have one seeker.
I know. I'm just saying that he goes off and does his seeker training.
That's probably true.
Because that's how, like, everybody, like a lot of different, like, pitchers, that's not a team thing. They just have to practice pitching.
But they throw with each other.
But do they practice pitching to each other? No, he just practices pitching to the catcher or whatever. Like, they have to, and batting, they don't practice, like, necessarily, like, batting with everybody. You just have to, like, spend some time alone in the batting cage and, like, perfect your swing. So there.
All right. Shall I continue? Yeah. Harry saw no hint of a Dementor within the grounds. Dumbledore's anger seemed to be keeping them at their stations in the entrances. 2 weeks before the end of the term, the sky lightened suddenly to a dazzling opaline white, and the muddy grounds were revealed one morning covered in glittering frost. Inside the castle, there was a buzz of Christmas in the air. Professor Flitwick...
Christmas?
What's that?
Christmas?
It's December.
Oh, I thought it was November.
They sort of zipped through November. They had Halloween and then, you know...
Yeah, what about the Halloween?
But they had a Halloween, remember? That was the day that everyone went into Hogsmeade, and Harry stayed by himself.
Did anything happen that day?
Yeah, Sirius Black broke into the castle, remember?
But what about Halloween? Like, what about the celebration?
Oh, well, they had a big feast. There was, like, porridge and shit.
They didn't have porridge. I want pumpkin stuff this weekend.
Pumpkin stuff?
Yeah, pumpkin pie.
Like, carving pumpkins? Oh, to eat pumpkin stuff. Oh, okay.
Sure. You like pumpkin?
I do like pumpkin. I like pumpkin pie.
That's what I said.
Yeah. Is that what you want?
Yeah.
Okay. You'll have to force me to eat the pumpkin pie, though. Sorry, I'm just messing with you.
And then we'll cast spells.
And then we'll what?
We'll cast spells.
Yes. Hocus Pocus, Jiminy Focus. Sorry. Wingardium Leviosa.
Expelliarmus.
Expelliarmus. That's the only spell they know. Like when they fight, that's the only thing they know how to do.
Avada Kedavra.
What's that?
Avada Kedavra.
Well, yeah, that one too, but they don't actually know how to use it. They can just say Expelliarmus and then they'll try to win.
Lumos,
yeah, they can turn on their lights. Alright. Oh, yes. So there was a buzz of Christmas in the air when you interrupted me.
I love Christmas.
I know you love Christmas. Professor... What?
The best.
Yes.
You know what they do?
I think they enchant all the ghosts to go around singing Christmas carols. But instead of singing, it's like stereo. And so, like, the ghosts go around and they're like singing little stereos that play Christmas carols.
You think?
You know, the ghosts, if they have to do that Christmas carols every year for hundreds of years, they probably get sick of them. Okay. You're very cute. Are you ready? Okay. Professor Flitwick, the charms teacher, had already decorated his classroom with shimmering lights that turned out to be real fluttering fairies.
Aww.
The students were all happily discussing their plans for the holidays. Both Ron and Hermione had decided to remain at Hogwarts, and though Ron said it was because he couldn't stand 2 weeks with Percy, and Hermione insisted she needed to use the library, Harry wasn't fooled. They were doing it to keep him company, and he was very grateful. To everyone's delight except Harry's, there was to be another Hogsmeade trip on the very last weekend of the term. "We can do all our Christmas shopping there," said Hermione. "Mom and Dad really love those tooth-flossing string mints from Honeydukes." Resigned to the fact that he would be the only third year staying behind again, Harry borrowed a copy of Witch Broomstick from Wood, and decided to spend the day reading up on the different makers. He had been riding one of the school brooms at team practice, an ancient shooting star, which was very slow and jerky. He definitely needed a new broom of his own. On the Saturday morning of the Hogsmeade trip, Harry bid goodbye to Ron and Hermione, who were wrapped in cloaks and scarves, then turned up the marble staircase alone and headed back towards Gryffindor Tower. Snow had just started to fall outside the windows, and the castle was very still and quiet. "Psst, it's Harry!" He turned along and halfway along the third floor corridor to see Fred and George peering out at him from behind a statue of a humpbacked, one-eyed witch. "What are you doing?" said Harry curiously. "How come you're not going to Hogsmeade?" "We've come to give you a bit of a festive cheer before we go," said Fred with a mysterious wink. "Come in here." He nodded toward an empty classroom to the left of the one-eyed statue. Harry followed Fred and George inside. George closed the door quietly and then turned, beaming to look at Harry. "Early Christmas present for you, Harry," he said. Fred pulled something from inside his cloak with a flourish and laid it on one of the desks. It was a large, square, very worn piece of parchment with nothing written on it at all. Harry, suspecting one of Fred and George's jokes, stared at it. "What's that supposed to be?" "This, Harry, is the secret of our success," said George, patting the parchment fondly. "It's a wrench giving it to you," said Fred, "but we decided last night your need's greater than ours." "Anyway, we know it by heart," said George. "We bequeath it to you. We really don't need it anymore." "What do I need with an old bit of parchment?" said Harry. "An old bit of parchment?" said Fred, closing his eyes with a grimace as though Harry had mortally offended him. "Explain, George." "Well," said George, "when we were in our first year, Harry, young, carefree, and innocent..." Harry snorted. He doubted whether Fred and George had ever been innocent. Well, more innocent than we are now. We got into a spot of bother with Filch. We let a dung bomb in the corridor, and it upset him for some reason. So he hauled us off to his office and started threatening us with the usual tension, disembowelment. We couldn't help noticing a drawer in one of his filing cabinets marked confiscated and highly dangerous. Don't tell me, said Harry, starting to grin. Well, what would you have done, said Fred. George caused the diversion by dropping another dung bomb. I whipped the drawer open and grabbed this. It's not as bad as it sounds, you know, said George. We don't reckon Filch ever found out how to work it. He probably suspected what it was, though, or he wouldn't have confiscated it. And you know how to work it? Oh, yes, said Fred, smirking. This little beauty's taught us more than all the teachers in the school. You're winding me up, said Harry, looking at the old ragged piece of parchment. Oh, are we? Said George. He took out his wand, touched the parchment lightly, and said, I solemnly swear that I'm up to no good. And at once, thin ink lines began to spread like a spider's web from the point that George's wand had touched. They joined each other, they crisscrossed, they fanned into every corner of the parchment, and then words began to blossom across the top, great curly green words that proclaimed, Messrs. Mooney, Wormtail, Padfoot, and Prongs, purveyors of aids to magical mischief makers, are proud to present the Marauder's Map. It was a map showing every detail of the Hogwarts castle and grounds. But the truly remarkable thing was that the tiny ink dots were moving around, each labeled with a name in minuscule writing. Astounded, Harry bent over it. A labeled dot in the top left corner showed that Professor Dumbledore was pacing the study. The caretaker's cat, Mrs. Norris, was prowling the second floor. Peeves the poltergeist was currently bouncing around the trophy room. And Harry's eyes traveled up and down the familiar corridors, he noticed something else. This map showed a set of passages he'd never entered, and many of them seemed to lead. Right into Hogsmeade, said Fred, tracing one of them with his finger. There are seven in all. Now, Filch knows about these four, he pointed them out, but we're sure we're the only ones who know about these. Don't bother with the one behind the mirror on the fourth floor. We used it until last winter, but it's caved in, completely blocked. We don't reckon anyone's ever used this one, because the Whomping Willow is planted right over the entrance. But this one here, this one leads right into the cellar of Honeydukes. We've used it loads of times. As you might have noticed, the entrance is right outside this room, through that one-eyed crone's hump. Mooney, Wormtail, Padfoot, and Prongs, sighed George, patting the heading of the map. We owe them so much. Noble men working tirelessly to help a new generation of lawbreakers, said Fred solemnly. Right, said George briskly. Don't forget to wipe it after you've used it. Or anyone can read it, Fred said warningly. Just tap it and say, mischief managed, and it'll go blank. So, young Harry, said Fred, in an uncanny impersonation of Percy, mind you behave yourself. See you in Honeydukes, said George, winking. And they left the room, both smirking in a satisfied sort of way. Harry stood there, gazing at the miraculous map. He watched the tiny ink Mrs. Norris turn left and pause to sniff at something on the floor. If Filch really didn't know, he wouldn't have to pass the Dementors at all. But even as he stood there, flooded with excitement, something Harry had once heard Mr. Weasley say came floating out of his memory. Never trust anything that can think for itself if you can't see where it keeps its brain. This map was one of those dangerous magical objects Mr. Weasley had been warning against. Aids for magical mischief makers. But then, Harry reasoned, he only wanted to use it to get into Hogsmeade, and it wasn't as though he wanted to steal anything or attack anyone. And Fred and George had been using it for years without anything horrible happening. Harry traced the secret passage to Honeydukes with his finger. Then, quite suddenly, as though following orders, he rolled up the map, stuffed it in his robes, and hurried out the door of the classroom. He opened it a couple inches. There was no one outside. Very carefully, he edged out of the room and behind the statue of the One-Eyed Witch. I think we'll stop there, Boo. seem okay. So tomorrow we'll see his attempt to enter Hogsmeade.
Why the hell would Fred and George figure that out?
That's a good question. But I mean, they are smart wizards.
I know, but how did they know to say exactly, I solemnly swear that I'm up to no good?
I don't know. Maybe they could divine. I mean, these are kinds of things I'd imagine you could sort of interrogate the parchment. I don't know. But, I mean, it seems like that's a kind of thing that they do in this world. That it's if you're good enough, you can interrogate the parchment, and it would have to tell you somehow what its secret was. If you were good enough. Now, it's possible that they just guessed. Maybe. I don't know. I love you so much, kitty. Sleep well, boo. I love you. Good night.